Hi, this is Pastor Daniel Bracken. You're listening to Kings Alaska Podcast. I hope the word encourages you and you get a touch from God that brings transformation and equips you to experience life with people, power, and purpose. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy the word. All right, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Jesus help Pastor Daniel right now. Dear brothers and sisters, after we were separated from you for a little while, though our hearts never left you, we tried very hard to come back because of our intense longing to see you again. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan prevented us. After all, what gives us hope and joy and what will be our proud reward and crown as we stand before the Lord Jesus when he returns, it's you. Yes, you are our pride and joy. Finally, when we could stand it no longer, this is chapter 3 now, verse 1. When we could stand it no longer, we decided to stay alone in Athens, and we sent Timothy to visit you. He's our brother and God's co-worker in proclaiming the good news of Christ. And we sent him to strengthen you, to encourage you in your faith, and to keep you from being shaken by the troubles you were going through. But you know that we are destined for such troubles. That's the Apostle Paul saying that, by the way. So you'll have a lot of other people to tell you something else. He says we're destined for troubles. Jesus talked about it too, verse 4. Even while we were with you, we warned you that troubles would soon come, and they did. As you well know, that is why, when we could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Pay attention to that verse. But now Timothy has just returned, bringing us good news about your faith and love, and he reports that you always remember our visit with joy, and that you want to see us as much as we want to see you, verse 7. So we've been greatly encouraged in the midst of our troubles and suffering, dear brothers and sisters, because you have remained strong in your faith. It gives us new life to know that you are standing firm in the Lord. How we thank God for you. Because of you, we have great joy as we enter God's presence. Night and day, we pray earnestly for you, asking God to let us see you again, to fill the gaps in your faith. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. And may the Lord make your love for one another and your love for people grow and overflow, just as our love for you overflows. And may he, as a result, make your heart strong, blameless, and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again with all his holy people. Amen. Father, thank you for what you're going to do, what you have done. I need your help, especially, Lord, as I'm tired, but your anointing makes all the difference. And I pray now that your unction, your power, your anointing would come upon these lips of clay and give us all ears to hear and a heart to respond. Move in power. Come on, ask God to speak to you tonight. Move in great power in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. We do have notes for you as they start my clock. We do have notes for you. And you go ahead and fill those in and share them with somebody. That's how I was mentored and discipled by Dr. Morocco. So I've continued the same pattern today, as many of you know. And some of you have whole reams of notes, and that's a good idea. I'll continue to do it as long as the Lord leads me to do that. Sometimes I don't use notes. Many times I do. This is a pastoral word and a powerful one. All of us have been affected by the evil that's taken place in Israel with the attacks of innocent families. And I heard some reports that I didn't hear in the news that I won't even say. But they're absolute, absolute barbaric and horrible, heinous crimes against humanity. And it's not even like that. It's not even like Hamas. It's not even like those that are proponents of that want Israel, the land. It's not even so much about the land. It's that they hate Jews. And that war has been happening for the longest time. And some of the deepest anti-Semitism, what it might be shock to you, is why Jews don't want to hear from Christians pretty much, is anti-Semitism was pushed and promoted by some of the early church fathers more than anybody else, is where it started. And you look in history and thousands of years of Christians killing Jews and so on and so forth. And it's horrible. And we need to redeem that. And by God's grace, we will. God is intervening. As a Christian, evil must be confronted. The Judeo-Christian reality and revelation of God demands that evil must be dealt with. Christians must confront evil. And that's why this text is so important, because there's evil happening in Thessalonica. I happened to live in Thessalonica for about 3 months, I think it was. When I was 18, 19 years old, I lived there and had no idea of the rich history of Thessalonica. It's a church there, and the church is in trouble. And you read 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and I want you to imagine, I've said it so many times before, I don't know if you remember, before we had text and before, you know, we really had speaker phones, if your mama answered the phone and you were a kid, you're looking at her facial expressions, you're listening. If she doesn't want you to listen, she kicked you out. And that thing had a cord. Does anybody remember the cords? Any remember the one that could, like, you could like walk to the garage with the cord? It was so long. You go to Radio Shack, get an extra long cord. And you could listen to your mom, you could listen to your dad, or you could maybe listen to your older sister or your older brother and find out what's actually taking place by the conversation, especially if they weren't really paying attention, because then they're just talking freely. Oh, how are you, Joan? Oh. Oh. Oh, my. Okay, so you realize, well, there's something wrong. We need to pray. Oh, God. And they start praying. Obviously, Joan's having a problem, right? There's something wrong. And in the same way, you can hear joyful voices and exuberance and a countenance. You know, when my phone rings in the middle of the night, it's not always good. It can be bad. And the phone rings, guaranteed Pastor Karen staring at my face, listening to the sound of my voice. If it was for her and it was in the middle of the night, I'm listening. Is everything okay? Oh my God, is everything okay? And you know, sometimes somebody died. Sometimes there's an accident. Sometimes there's trouble. When you're reading this, you have to understand that what he's writing is a response to what's happening. That's how you read the epistles. Epistle is a Greek word for letter. So you read the letter and you realize, oh, something's wrong because of what he writes in response. So what's going on in Thessalonica? Right in the text, Paul's being attacked. He's being attacked, and they're probably saying things like, Paul doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. He's abandoned you. If he cared for you, he would be here by now. If he cared for you, and you can look in previous verses and see the same thing, and Paul's correcting that. He's fixing that distortion. He's fixing the lie because he deeply cares. In fact, he cares so profoundly that it's, I mean, you think about the Apostle Paul, you think, well, what was he like? He was this stoic scholar. He's not stoic at all. He's just oozing with love and passion and affection. And by the words he uses in the Greek, it's really rather profound. So Paul's being attacked, and he answers and said, instead Paul says, we were torn away. We were made like orphans is the word. We were made orphans. I don't know if you've ever been torn away from a child. I remember dropping Hannah off at her first year in college. My God. We needed the jaws of life to separate Pastor Karen and Hannah as they're weeping. When Tiff Shuttlesworth left, We just have a deep love for each other. He said, I'm not good at goodbyes. I said, come on, man, come here. We grabbed each other. He's trying not to cry. He cried. I saw him. He cried. Tiff Shuttlesworth cried. That's what it's like. He reflects on what happened after the revival. They had a great revival, many people coming to Christ. And he says, when we left, we were like we were orphaned. You ever had your heart break when you left somebody or somebody left you? That's what he's saying. So he's saying, no, I haven't abandoned you. My heart broke when I left you, and you know it. That's what he's saying. And then he's reflecting about the synagogue and all that happened and a riot. God poured out his spirit. They had a great revival, but then they tried to arrest him, tried to kill him. And they hit him, and then he had to escape with Silas. He had passion to return to them. Come on, someone say that. He had passion. He had a passion to return to them. The word here, intense longing. As near as I can relate it to you, it's this way. The negative use of that word would be filled with lust. So it's not the negative use, it's the positive use of it. He's so longing, he's like, he can't wait to see them again. And Paul reasoned with, Paul's reason he didn't turn to Thessalonica, and he tells him, it's this powerful revelation. Satan hindered him. Satan stopped him. Satan wouldn't let me. My gosh, that's intense. I wanted to come again and again, but Satan wouldn't let me. I mean, what's that all about? What is that all about, Pastor? What's that about? I mean, we don't know. We don't know what that looks like. What does it look like that Satan stopped him? We have no idea. Was it the thorn in the flesh again? Was it something else? What was it? We don't know. He says, I wanted to come, but I got stopped. Now, I just want to say, we're going to get to some application, but if Satan can stop the Apostle Paul, it's fair to say that he can probably stop you. And don't give me that charismaniac answer. I've got Jesus. Yes, you do. And that's true. But some fights you have to press. And the scriptures are clear. Listen closely before you think I just said something that was not scriptural. And by the way, if I do say anything that doesn't sound scriptural, that's not what I meant. You can be hindered by Satan, but clearly understand, submit to God, the Apostle Paul said, James says, submit to God, resist the devil, he will flee. Book of James. So it's not that there's not there's attacks, but then there's breakthrough. So Satan hindered him, but it's not over yet. Come on, somebody say it's not over yet. And so he says, when we could take it no more, I couldn't take it anymore. So I sent Timothy to you. That's what he says. And it made me think perhaps some of that attack, that maybe some of that hindering is because of families that he was related to. Maybe he was marked at the city that if the Apostle Paul came back, there was going to be another riot, or maybe they're going to arrest him now. Maybe there's things that are happening that we don't know, but I'm going to send in Timothy. I'm going to send in my number one man. I'm going to send him in, faithful Timothy. I'm going to send him. And he sends Timothy to Thessalonica because he's concerned about their faith. Now that's amazing. Because in this neo-Calvinistic age that we live in, do you all know what I just said? Neo-Calvinism, hyper-Calvinism. Why, if you could lose your faith, if you couldn't lose your faith, why would Paul even write what he's writing? Why would he send Timothy to check on their faith if you're just saved and everything's good? You're just going to go to heaven. Think about that. Are you saying that you could lose your faith? I am saying you could lose your faith. There's going to come in the last days the great falling away, the apostasy. That's a military term. Apostasy is someone who's a part of the army and they turn and they run. What is that called, Minister Toby? When somebody, it's AWOL. You go to jail for that. You're in trouble for AWOL. You got to show up. And so that word apostasy is what we would understand as AWOL. They're no longer there. They're not a part of the army anymore. They departed. Hebrews says departs from the faith. Departing from the faith means you no longer are in faith. So he departed from Wasilla. They departed Wasilla and they went to Anchorage. When they get to Anchorage, let me ask you, are they in Wasilla? No. So Paul's concerned they're leaving Wasilla. Paul's concerned they're leaving faith. So he sends Timothy. He says, I gotta get back there. Our labor would have been in vain. Oh God, help us to get back. In fact, he prays night and day. It's a powerful picture. He's concerned about their faith. You know, I'm concerned about quite a few people's faith. Raise your hand if you're concerned about some people's faith. All right, that's a good thing. So what about you? Are you concerned about your faith? I am. That's why I'm in the Word every day. And I'm learning and growing. And that's why I've submitted myself to so many great leaders, especially my beautiful wife, people that hold my shut-up card just to make sure I don't end up a castaway. They'll all never fall away. You might have already. Wow. He sends Timothy to strengthen and encourage them. Look at verse 5. That's why when I could bear it no longer, I sent Timothy to find out whether your faith was still strong. I was afraid that the tempter had gotten the best of you and that our work had been useless. Paul's concerned they'd fall victim to Satan's temptation. What is that? We'll talk about it in just a moment. So Timothy returns. He says that Timothy's come back and he's got a good report. Hey! Timothy comes back and it's not all sad. It's glad. He comes back with a good report. Timothy's just returned, verse 6. And Paul gives thanks to God in a passionate way. And Paul tells them how he prayed for them night and day. Night and day. Do you pray for your loved ones night and day? Just a rhetorical question. You don't have to yell out the answer. But it's day and night, night and day prayer that actually makes a difference. And it's not some rudimentary pattern that you pray. It's this fervent prayer. He's burdened. Day and night he prays. And Paul tells them what he's praying for. And he actually prays for them in the letter. Look at verse 11. May God our Father and our Lord Jesus bring us to you very soon. So he's praying that they would be able to go see them. And may the Lord make your love for one another and for all the people grow and overflow. Our love's got to grow and overflow. And that's what he's telling them. Your love's got to grow and overflow for one another. Wow. And may he as a result make your heart strong. Come on, say, God, make my heart strong. God, make my heart strong. Blameless and holy as you stand before God our Father when our Lord Jesus comes again. He's talking about the second coming of Christ. With all his holy people. What's God speaking to us in light of what's happening right now in Israel, in light of what's happening in the earth, what's happening on university campuses? You know, you may or may not know it, and this might freak some of you out, but how many of you'd like to just, you know? Or would you like to stay in the dark? If you want to stay in the dark, you're at the wrong church. I wouldn't know where to direct you. They have left that border open for so long. And there is literally Syrian refugee camps. People in high-level places believe that our whole nation is riddled with terrorists all over the country. And in talking with people that know, they just think everybody should have guns and ammo in their house. And I'm not kidding. Like, why would you say that? That's crazy. You're scaring the kids. Children's church is on the other side. Youth is over there. We're talking to adults here, all right? And don't let fear get a hold of you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of what? Power, love, and sound mind. And I would to God that as I share this, you'd let it go deep in your heart and you would be a person that prays night and day, that you would actually make a difference and lay hold of the promises of God and declare the plan of God and the will of God. But also you would be as wise as serpents and gentle as doves. In light of what's happening, we must stand firm against evil. Say that. We must stand firm. What can I do? I can't do anything over there in Israel. I'm here. Well, you can pray, and there's no distance in prayer. You can give. You can resource. You can do different things like that. And then you can also vote and push back the trans agenda in Alaska. How about that? It's evil. Any kind of evil you see in the community, stand up and take action against it. It's crazy, that whole transsexual agenda is driven. You'd think that like 5% of the population was involved. It's like 0.13. It's so small. But because they push it so hard in all the schools, this just happened. Are y'all all right? Because I know that this is Israel and we have that situation, it might become World War III. You all understand that, right? Everybody understand that? Okay. And there's activity all around here. You say, what are you, Pastor? What? Yeah, it's time to serve God. It's time to pray. It's time to really press in and make a difference. It's not business as usual. We've never been in this situation worldwide like ever before. There's plans to do away with the dollar. There's these, the 10 nations have been selected to come together, the 10 toes from the Colossus of Daniel chapter 2. I'm just telling you, we were closer than when we first believed. Many scholars say that we could just have the rapture right now. Okay. Some of you guys are looking at me like a cow at a new gate or a bull at a new gate. It's either cows or bulls. It's either one. Here's an inside thing from Israel. And they can set up the temple in just a few days. How's that? Yeah, they can set up the tabernacle. Well, the temple needs to be built. The temple needs to be built. Well, would the tabernacle suffice before the... You go to the Temple Institute, they have the menorah. They have all of these things. They have the red heifers to make the ashes. They have everything basically they need to do temple worship, to satisfy and fulfill that part of the book of Revelation. Does that wake anybody else up? So they can literally put it together in tabernacle form and begin to have sacrifices and worship God in the prescribed way from the Old Testament, which would be a fulfillment. We're in a moment in history that we have never been in, and I am going to stand against evil overseas, abroad, and home. It is absolutely unacceptable to have the queer story hour and all that. It's unacceptable. It's against my religion. I saw a flag, a rainbow flag, with guy and girl, girl and girl, guy and guy, and then an adult with a child, and said, honor all preferences. Yeah, everybody say no. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert. Come on, bump your neighbor and say, stay alert. Stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls along like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour. Stand firm against him. Everybody say that. Stand firm against him and be strong in your faith. Remember that your family of believers all over the world is going through the same kind of suffering you are. Somebody said, well, what about the tribulation? You know, if you were a Jew, Let's say you're a Jewish believer and you lost your baby or I almost want to say some of the things that happened. I'm not going to. It's defiling. It put images in your mind just like it did in mine. You would feel like you're in the midst of tribulation, believe me. So I don't know. Apollyon, I do believe, perhaps has been released. Satan accuses. Look at your notes with me. Satan does what? He accuses. And so that's what's happening to the Apostle Paul in the context here. He's being accused. People, listen, the only way the devil can speak is by using your mouth or mine. And so people have aligned to attack the Apostle Paul. It's the same thing he does today. No one cares about you. If the church really loved you, they'd have called and visited. No one really cares about you because such and such and so and so. Your wife doesn't love you. Your husband doesn't love you. That was a blonde hair you saw on his black jacket. You know it was. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. It says that he accuses them day and night. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And what he'll do is he'll do that to you. He'll try to do it to me. If the enemy can get you to believe a lie about me, about this church, he won't be coming here anymore. Oh, that offering to Israel. Where did they give that? I bet they put that. Don't even let it come out of your mouth. Two signatures on every check. We have integrity all the way down the line, triple, double checked all over the place. It's righteousness, truth, integrity, and repentance for where we blow it. I love what, I don't know what, I think it was Minister Toby did something a while back. He didn't do anything major, but he says this to me. He says, oh, pastor, charge that to my head and not my heart. I think I have quoted that since then at least 4 or 5 times with you. Oh, sorry, it's not from here, it's here, duh. So sometimes we make mistakes, but it's the enemy, he's the accuser of the brethren. If you stop for a moment and realize that the enemy of your soul is trying to put thoughts in your mind, please hear me. The enemy of your soul is trying to put thoughts in your mind to accuse you, to accuse others in your mind. That's what he does. You need to get your mind right. Some of you just, come on, just etch your sketch right now. Just the blood of Jesus. And Satan does bring trials. Now, I taught you recently the 4 causes of trials. Heaven's discipline. Some of you need that. Some of you are in the midst of spankings from the throne room right now. Yeah, so those whom the Lord loves, he chastises. So don't just think that God, come on, you know, though you being evil, you correct your kids. If you don't, you're going to have a prison ministry. You need to correct your children. You need to train your children. And your heavenly Father's training you. So you'll go through trials because you're getting trained because you needed some training. How do you deal with that? Repent, submit, learn, don't do it again. Amen. But there is trials that come from God, Jonah. Then there's trials that come from the ugly one, from Satan. There's Satan rages and wants to steal, kill, and destroy. So some things, some storms, some trials are satanic, demonic, clearly. What do you do with that? Bind, take authority, resist, submit to God, resist the devil. There are trials, there are challenges that are demonic. Number 3, your sin, somebody else's sin. You could have done something that caused yourself a trial or a problem, or maybe you were married to somebody that did it for you. Or maybe it was your next door neighbor. Sin. The 4th thing is the fallenness of the world, creation. Creation's grown, some call it. So there are reasons for trials. Certainly Satan does bring them. Trials, 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 trials. Don't ever waste a good trial. Because out of a trial will come a testimony. Don't ever waste a good test. Come on, say, come on, lift a hand to heaven and say, oh God, I'm not going to waste this trial. Oh, I'm going to show myself strong by the grace of God. Jesus said it would happen. Paul said it would happen. James said, consider it not strange when you face all kind of trials. And when you face a trial, don't you blame God. Has anybody ever done that besides me? You go through something like, Lord, do you even know where I am? God, do you love me? Yeah, he does. You're the one that threw yourself in front of the bus. Satan tempts people to abandon their faith. The greatest crisis in my life, I've shared it. It's too long a story to go into the whole thing, but through a great disappointment of what I believed to be a promise from God, but it was fabricated in my mind, I should actually say, it's a promise from God that the timing wasn't right, so it's still going to come to pass, but at that time it didn't come to pass, and when it didn't, in my mind, I perceived that to be no. And when that happened, I got offended at God. You get mad at God? Seriously, right now? That's the wrong person to get mad at. And he'll tempt you to abandon your faith. You can lose your faith. That verse 3. Let me find it here. Come on, look at your Bibles with me. And to keep you from being shaken by the troubles that you're going through. To keep you from being shaken. That word is profound. It's a picture, unsettled, or the wagging of a tail. You know, there's an attempt for people to lose their faith and just become religious. You'll see that around the holidays. People have like these religious feelings. Oh, baby Jesus. Baby Jesus. Yeah, but he ain't no baby anymore. It's cute to keep little baby Jesus in it, little baby Jesus. It's the little baby Jesus at Christmas. Oh, yeah, that little baby Jesus. Yeah, he grew up. He grew up and he took the sins of the world and he was crucified for your sin and mine. He's not little baby Jesus. A lot of people have like little religious feelings and feel warm and fuzzy when they see the Christmas tree or the Hanukkah bush or whatever it is and be like, oh. Don't let anybody pull you away from genuine faith. You know when people have faith in God by the way that they live, the way that they live. You somebody say to you, I'm a Christian, well then act like one. You missed a great place to say amen. Bump your neighbor and say, act like one. Go ahead. Would the Joneses join me back up here with some of that incredible sounds that you make come out of that keyboard for me as we put the landing gear down? Satan hinders. It's a profound statement. I don't know how many people are here tonight. I'm going to say 300 plus youth. God has a will. Then there's 300 plus wills in here. I think it was close to 500 last Wednesday. I don't know how many people in the building now. Children and everybody. Everybody has a will. God has a will. You have a will. Satan has a will. Not everything is God's will. And some of you are like, well, I guess it's just the will of God. We're just going to... No, really? No. Some moron wrote a book a number of years ago. And I can't remember the name. I'm glad I can't, just in case you'd go read it. But the idea was that everything's easy in ministry and with the Lord. And you know that you're under the anointing and walking in favor when it just flows and it just happens. It's beautiful and it's easy. You know what I found? I get nervous when it's like that. Actually, I found when it's difficult, that would probably be the confirmation it's the Lord. I totally think the opposite of that. And then when it just pops and happens, I'm like, whoo, awesome. But I'm lace up and get ready. Anything that God calls me to do, calls us to do, it's always been a fist fight. This building, 7 years, I wanted it the first 12 months. 7 years to build this. But my beloved brother, it took 7 years to build the temple. It took 7 years to subjugate the promised land. Seven's a good number.
Seven's a good number.
You got a will to do the will of God. That's an old message from Dr. Morocco. Not everything is God's will. The Christian must discern between God's will and Satan's hindering. And that can be challenging. Because sometimes you can be in a fight. Oh, I just went through it. Going to Chile. I shoot down to Chile for a conference, and I come straight back here next week. And there were so many obstacles, and I'd prayed. My wife is praying. I'm praying. I'm thinking, I'm starting to lose my peace. Then I lose my peace. I'm like, Lord. And then finally got to the point where I had to pull the trigger. I'm going or I'm not going, and I didn't have a yes. I mean, all kinds of problems. My passport, and I miss all kinds of stuff. I went to bed. I said, God, you got to speak to me. I just don't know. I can't tell. I just can't tell. Is this the enemy or is this you? Lord, please, because we'll cancel. The most important thing is staying in the will of God. Say that. The most important thing is staying in the will of God. I have canceled things, canceled trips, not gotten on planes, gotten on planes. I live my life this way. I'd encourage you to do the same. When I know it's God's will, we move forward with everything we got. But if I don't have 100%, 95% is not good enough. So I woke up that next morning and had a series of miracles where the Lord spoke to me, you're going, and then told me what I'm going to preach. Oh. But that can be a challenging thing to discern. All right. We stand strong by doing what Paul did. Let me move quickly. Are you ready? Two things he did. He reached out in love. He expressed his love to the people of Thessalonica. How? In the letter. All you have to do is a text. All you have to do is do a phone call. He reached out. He reached out in love. He expressed his love. He sent Timothy. He sent someone to show that he cared. He communicated with them through his letter. You know, communication is a beautiful thing. He prayed. Consistently and earnestly. 9 days, fervently. Specifically, he prayed, God, help me to make a way there. Help me to get there. He prayed the opposite of what the enemy was doing. When you pray, you see the enemy's doing something, pray the opposite, push back. As a church, there's three things really we need to do to stand strong against evil. One, preach the word. We must preach the word. It's central to who we are. This is not the Encyclopedia Britannica. God stands over his word to see it performed. We have to preach it. We have to teach it in our life groups. In all that we do, my son preaching over there, youth, just wrapping up. And I'm almost done here. I'm going to stand strong against evil. So I will preach to you the truth. Then you take that and you stand with that and you push back. You agree. You bind and you loose and you'll see God's power manifested in your home, in your family, with your children, in our community. Yes, in Israel too. You stand and you agree with the word of God. Memorize it. Eat the scroll. Learn the word. Memorize the word. Learn to think the word. Replace your stinking thinking with truth, which is found here. You know, I'm not here to please people. I mean, I love you. I hope you're happy with us and all that. But I'm not here for that. I'm not here. We're not here to make people happy. We tick off a lot of people. There's people that don't want to hear the truth. I hope that came out all right. We love you. We feel your love. I'm here on assignment from God. And I'm thankful when people are blessed and they grow and their lives change. It's awesome. But I'm not here to get a pat on the back. I'd have left long ago, 17 years this Sunday. Glory to God. You'll do something else. We're on assignment. Come on, someone say, I'm on assignment. The second thing is loving people. You need both these things. You need to preach the word and you need to love people. If you're missing any of those, your church is going to be jacked up. Your family will be messed up. If it's all word and no love, or all love and no word. If it's all word and no love, then you're just violating. The word works in the context, the gifts work in the context of love. If you don't have love, then you're a gong. Mama gong, daddy gong, and all the little baby gongs. You gotta have love. Gotta have the word. And you gotta have love. If you just have love and you don't have the word, then you're gonna get deceived and you're gonna be all twisted. Well, that doesn't feel very loving. Yeah. A rod on your backside from the Lord doesn't feel very loving, but it is, because you needed it. Lastly, pray. I'm so grateful for what's happening here. What's happening in our life groups. We have life groups soon to have 100 life groups, 100 small groups. So grateful for what's taking place in Native Fellowship, what's taking place in the Slavic Fellowship, what's taking place at Primrose. So grateful for the 100 plus kids that are out there right now, youth, junior high, and high schoolers. So grateful for what God's doing. Stand firm against evil. Because if you don't, you'll soon find it inside your house. It's inside the borders of this country. And yes, there are people moved by demonic power. And I believe a great awakening will fix it.
Well, I hope you were encouraged by God's word. Thank you again for listening to King's Alaska Podcast. God bless you. For more great content, go to kcalaska.com. And may God's face shine upon you and give you peace.